It's that most wonderful time of the week, yes, time for your letters. And joining me again is News and Notes producer Christopher Johnson. Hey, Christopher.
Hey, Farai.
So, what are you serving up today?
How about some macaroni and cheese, Farai? Joseph C. Phillips had a commentary about that tasty dish last week.
In the African-American kitchen, mac and cheese has attained hallowed status. You may be able to whip up a sumptuous beef Wellington or chicken cordon bleu, but in the black community, if your macaroni and cheese is not, as the kids say, off the hook, you can't really cook.
Michael Brown of Orange Park, Florida, wrote to expand Phillips' point. Mac and cheese was poor folks' food, exploding onto the American palate during the Great Depression, and later as welfare program food. It allowed the U.S. Department of Agriculture to dump the excess of dairy and wheat products while feeding the poor. On Friday, we heard from Tuskegee Airman Alexander Jefferson about coming home after World War II.
Coming down the gangplank by boat from London, a boat across from Le Havre to London. When you walk down the gangplank in New York City, a big sign in front of you says, "Whites to the right, colored to the left." And a white soldier down at the bottom indicated whites to the right and niggers to the left. Coming back home. Racism, segregation.
Well, Christopher, Karen Chachu of St. Louis, Missouri, wrote us about his story. She said, "It was amazing to hear Alexander Jefferson talk about his experiences in the war, and then so poignant to hear about his return to discrimination in the U.S. How ironic that the Nazis would treat him better than he was treated in the United States." And last Thursday, Juan Williams and his guest on our Political Corner segment reported that Michigan's Proposal 2, the so-called Civil Rights Initiative, had failed. But that really wasn't the case. It passed by a margin of 58% to 42%. Several of you wrote us about that, including Jim Sullivan of Wyoming, Michigan. He wasn't entirely surprised by the mistake. He wrote, "Proposal 2 was named Civil Rights Initiative on purpose to trick the voters. It in fact eliminated affirmative action programs in state and university hiring and other aspects such as funding and research. Now at risk are funding for the cervical cancer vaccine, various scholarships given to minorities and women, and affirmative action in hiring and college admissions."
And Sylvia DePlay of Saugatuck, Michigan, added this note. "Not all of the people of Michigan wanted this abominable, indefensible legislation. What is needed is enforcement against the abuses that exist and education on the benefits we all enjoy when equal opportunity exists." By the way, Farai, News and Notes looks at that initiative and its possible legacy on tomorrow's show.
And Christopher, on Monday, News and Notes talked to Senator Harry Reid of Nevada, who's expected to lead the Senate starting in January. Conrad Wong of Reno, Nevada, wrote with this advisory. "Now that Senator Reid is the majority leader, everyone should know how to properly pronounce Nevada." Well, he actually won't be the majority leader until January, but nonetheless, thanks for sending us this audio link to the correct pronunciation. Let's take a listen.
Nevada.
Okay, one more time.
Nevada, 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 Nevada. Nevada,
Nevada, Nevada. All right, I got it. If you'd like to try this yourself, visit answers.com where this pronouncer and others reside. And to everyone out there, you got some thoughts that you want to express? Just drop us a line, good or bad. We want to hear from you, so please keep your comments coming. First off, you can call us at 202-408-3330. That's 202-408-3330. Or you can email us. Just log on to npr.org and click on Contact Us. Now, please be sure to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name. Christopher? Is Christopher right?
Christopher, not Chris.
All right. Thanks, Christopher.
My pleasure, Farai.